We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
The Pennsylvania Prison Society extends aid to incarcerated individuals and their families striving to uphold essential support systems throughout their confinement. Additionally, it offers insight into the secluded realm of prisons, shedding light on critical issues and actively seeking solutions. And today on The Spark, we welcome their executive director, Claire Schubick-Richards, to discuss all the great things that the Pennsylvania Prison Society has going on. Good afternoon, Claire. Thank you for joining us on The Spark today.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it is my pleasure. So before I get into the meat and potatoes of what you all do, can you give us a brief overview of what exactly is the Pennsylvania Prison Society?
Sure. We are the statewide monitor of prison conditions. So we have access to go inside and meet privately with anyone incarcerated in a county or a state correctional facility in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Our mission is to promote the health, safety, and dignity of people in custody and their families. And we do that by three main means. One is if you're in custody or you have or you're a family member of somebody who's in custody and you have a concern about their health, safety, or dignity while they're in prison, you can contact our helpline and we can help help you resolve any potential issues or give you the information that you need to understand what's going on. So that's our prison monitoring work. Then we also go in and conduct walkthroughs of facilities and report out to county officials on what's happening in their facilities. We were just in the Dauphin County Jail yesterday, conducting a walkthrough. And then in our family and community support team works with families that are working to maintain or rebuild connection to loved ones inside a facility. So if you want to set up a video call, visit someone, or you need to know the visiting rules, or you have difficulty getting to see your loved one, we can help you with that. We also offer fatherhood classes and family support groups. And then finally, because we are the only independent organization that is allowed to go into facilities, we have an education and advocacy team that works to shine a light and educate people about what's happening in Pennsylvania's 62 county and 23 state facilities.
And Claire, can you explain to us the importance of your work? Because it really sounds like you all are filling in the holes with families that are dealing with incarceration.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, on any given day, about 1% of Pennsylvania's adult population has been deprived of their liberty and is held at taxpayer expense behind bars. And for a family member, you want to know what's going on with your loved one, right? And you want to be able to care for them. And prisons often make that difficult, right? Prison is isolating by design, and we can help you. We can be that conduit.
And the work that you do, how have you seen it evolve over these last 10 years?
Well, it's interesting that you say over these last 10 years. I mean, just to give you some perspective, the Pennsylvania Prison Society is the nation's oldest human rights organization. So we're founded 3 months before the Constitution was written.
Wow.
By the same people that wrote the Constitution. So Benjamin Franklin, Benjamin Rush, are our founders, because they believed at the moment when they were creating this country that a key component of this country, and I'll use their language, what they wrote in 1787 was that the obligations of benevolence are not canceled by the follies and crimes of our fellow creatures. So they recognized, you know, right at the start of the country that benevolence needed to be extended to people who might end up in prison, either because of a folly or a crime. And they go on to say, this is the Prison Society's constitution, because if you're founded in 1787, you have a constitution, that our obligation is to ensure that people who have gone into prison can go on to lead lives of virtue and happiness. So that's the history of the Prison Society. So you asked how we've evolved over the last 10 years. And I also think about how we've evolved over the last 236. But really, in the last 10 years, you know, it's the pandemic.
Yeah.
And prisons, the prisons in Pennsylvania in 2024 are significantly more isolating and more inhumane than they were in 2019. Many prisons have, including all 23 state prisons, have maintained pandemic era restrictions that for those of us in the free world on the outside would seem ridiculous, right? We're used to, for those of us who experienced on the pandemic on the outside, there was lockdown and then things opened up. You can go back to the way things were before. That's not true in Pennsylvania's prisons.
So can you share some stories of families that you all have worked with? What is their feedback? What are they saying?
Well, for many families, you know, the issue is that before the pandemic, you could see your loved one in person. You could go and visit your loved one. And most facilities had open visiting rooms where you could go in. And if you were approved, I mean, not anybody can walk in out of the street. In most facilities, you have to be approved to have a visit with a loved one. You could do that. That's not true today.
Wow.
So the 23 state facilities, they've put in many more restrictions on visiting. You typically have, they've limited the number of visiting times. You have to sign up at least, you know, a month in advance, and visiting slots fill up. You have to have a schedule in which you know that a month from now you can go and visit your loved one. It used to be you got a day off. Your schedule, you know, you're doing shift work, something changed, you could go in, see your son, see your brother, see your sister. Now you got to schedule it a month in advance. It used to be that you could have a longer visiting hour. Visiting has been cut back. It used to be that if your loved one had been shipped to a prison more than 3 hours away from Pittsburgh or Philly, the Department of Corrections would help you with transportation to see your loved one. They've stopped that program.
Wow.
So we're really excited that we've got a small pilot of that program that just started last month and is going really well. We're about to have 40 people from Philadelphia go all the way out to Greene County on the border of West Virginia, 8 hours away on Monday. We're really happy that we've been allowed to pilot that bus. But it used to be 10 buses sold out a month from Philly and Pittsburgh, getting loved ones to see their families, and that's no more.
And I'm going to get into your transportation program on the other side of the break, because I think that that's nothing short of amazing. And since we're already here with transportation and visitations and everything, how important are visitations, especially considering the mental health of those that are confined?
I mean, they're huge. So What we know from countless studies is that the number one correlating factor to good behavior inside a facility and a reduction in violence inside a facility is seeing family. You know, and it makes sense. You know, you're looking forward to it. It gives you something to look forward to. In addition, so that's what the research shows about people's behavior in prison, is that people are less violent, and there's a general greater sense of calm in facilities when there are family visits. In fact, the Ohio Department of Corrections, when they're determining who's going to go into maximum or minimum security, one of the factors that they consider the most is how much family visits someone has, because you're likely to be less violent if you have family visits. We also know from research in this country, research in other countries, and even the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections' own research, that the number one factor into someone returning to the community and staying home and not returning to prison is the number of family visits that they had while they were in prison.
Wow.
It makes sense, because who is it that's going to help you find housing when you come home?
Your family.
Your family.
Yeah.
Who's going to help you find a job when you come home? Your family.
Yeah.
You can have nonprofits like charities like the Prison Society and many of our great partners who can help connect you to a job, help you find clothing, but we're not going to be as good as your loved one. We're not going to be as good as your aunt and your mom. And that's why it's so important that family connection stays strong while someone's on the inside.
So with those visitations, and then with these numbers about people are less violent with them getting visitations, how long did it take to figure out, okay, we need some kind of transportation apparatus here to help these families?
Well, you know, if this was Pennsylvania has 23 state facilities.
Mm-hmm.
In 1985, we had 7.
Wow.
Incarceration has gone up 300% in Pennsylvania since 1980. So when the new prisons were built, the majority of the prisons in Pennsylvania state facilities were built between 1990 and 2010, and they were put in all sorts of faraway places that are not where the majority of people who are confined to those prisons come from. When that decision was made at that time, 2010 or so, 2000, the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections realized if they were going to house people all over the place, and they recognized the importance of family, they needed to provide transportation. So the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections worked with the Prison Society and our sister organization in Pittsburgh, Wesley Family Services, starting in about 2000 to help families connect. And they invested heavily in that. That all stopped with the pandemic.
Wow.
And I'll just say one other thing, which is, you know, one of the good things that came out of the pandemic, and we can all think about them, is video calls, right? You and I are actually conducting this interview over a video call. Video calls are great. And I really want to acknowledge the Department of Corrections has provided free video calls to a lot of families, and that's huge. Dauphin County Jail, I don't believe, does. Philadelphia Jail doesn't. A lot of facilities don't.
Wow.
But the state facilities do. But a video call can never replace being together. I'm a mom. I have 2 sons. If the only way I got to see my sons was through a video call, I couldn't get up in the morning. I got to see my babies.
Yeah.
And for the thousands of moms, dads, sisters, brothers, partners across Pennsylvania, you want to be with your loved one. And And it's hard when you can't be.
Yeah, and you also have with you your education and advocacy director, Lee Owens. And Lee, welcome to the Spark. Want to ask you a couple questions, if you don't mind. Now for yourself, we're talking about family here, and we're talking about visitations. How vital was it, and how much of a boost, if it was at all, when you seen your family?
Oh, it was absolutely paramount. And it was paramount for two reasons. I was incarcerated on Rikers Island in the early 2000s at a time where, and it still does have a really, really, bad reputation in that facility. So when I tell you that, and again, for two reasons, right? Family visits, I wasn't a New Yorker, so my family had to travel between 2 and 3 hours to come to Rikers to see me. They came once a month. And when I tell you, I look forward to that visit every month. And as the visit got closer and closer, I will tell you, if there was any sort of conflict that might arise in my cell or in the mess hall, I was avoiding that conflict because I wanted to see my family. I knew that my family day was coming up soon. So when you have regular visits, when you're able to communicate with your family regularly, it's going to put you in a position where you're going to avoid conflict at all costs. The other thing I'll say is that when the staff of any facility sees that you have a close relationship with your family, when the COs see that you're getting visits regularly, you're getting mail regularly, you're on the phone regularly, then when it comes to any sort of prison abuse or any sort of prison misconduct by staff, that's going to pass over you because they know that you have a strong support system around you.
So, I will tell you this. I did not have you being at Rikers in my notes. That kind of took me back a little bit. Oh man. Being at Rikers and being so far from your family, when they would come, that good feeling, that positive mental health, that positive momentum, how long would that ride you throughout the month? Was it 2 weeks? Was it 3 weeks? Was it a couple days? How long did that feeling, that good feeling, last for you after seeing your family?
A great question. It would rise up more so probably about a week before the visit. And then I could probably ride that way for about a good week or 2 weeks after the visit. But what would happen is I would transition into looking forward to the next visit. So, knowing that those visits were going to happen, having a schedule, having days I knew that my family would be driving from Philadelphia, and my girlfriend at the time was actually driving from Maryland. So looking forward to that, it also created that buzz that would kind of take over after the visit buzz died down, so to speak.
Oh, wow. And Claire, for your transportation program, for the folks that are listening right now that has a family member that is incarcerated, how can they find out more about this? Where do they go? Who do they contact? Let us know, please.
Yeah, Marquise, thank you for asking that question. Mm-hmm. So prisonsociety.org is our website. And you'll see at the top of our website our helpline number. I'll say it for anybody who wants it. 215-564-4775. I'll say it one more time. 215-564-4775. If you have a question about visiting a loved one, you need help, you have a question about their conditions, or you need help with transportation, call that number. We're here for you, and we have been for 236 years.
So my final question here is, the jails and the prisons, do they have you all come in with open arms, or has there been pushback?
Yeah, so I will say that in most facilities across Pennsylvania, we're like the air that they breathe. They're just used to us. We're probably older than most of them. So they're just used to the prison society people come in, right? And they know that. In some jails, And I want to say Cumberland County has been good to work with. I want to give a shout out to the administration at the Washington County Jail. Some jails really see us as a resource, and they know that we can make their jobs better. Some see us as a nuisance. Oh, those people are coming in again. But they all let us in, and they all eventually work with us.
Well, Claire and Lee, I want to thank you both for coming on The Spark today and just giving us all this great insight on what you all do. You all are doing some great, great work. Before we head out, is there anything else that you want our audience to know?
You know, thank you for covering this issue, for letting people know. You know, there's a lot going on in central Pennsylvania. And, you know, we are happy to answer your questions or any of your listeners' questions. Thank you so much.